And you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, the show about comics where we blow your mind one comic book at a time. What you just heard was from a band called Darling Violetta, and it's the theme song to the Angel Show. It opened the show every single week. Before that, we heard the Breeders doing the Buffy the Vampire Slayer theme, which leads us directly into our show. Now, I know I promised an interview with Ed Brisson, the publisher of New Reliable Press, and I do have that interview, but unfortunately, my mini disc player is not letting me access that interview, let alone edit it and play it for you. So hopefully within the new year, when Concordia's communication faculty comes back, they can help me figure out why my mini disc will not let me listen to my interview. But until that time, I threw a show together very quickly, but don't worry, it's well prepared. It's the Buffy and Angel comics that don't suck. Because, you know, they've really been churning them out a lot, and over the, like, God, the first one came out in 1998. So since then, there's been like a constant stream of Buffy and Angel comics, whether it be from Dark Horse Press or IDW. But it just seems that they consistently have crappy artists, and I really do not know why that is. Because seriously, this is a franchise that could go on forever and could make loads of money if they just had really good artists on it. So today we will be going through the various Buffy and Angel comics that have really good artists and decent storylines, because most of them do. And I'm actually a fairly big fan of the whole Buffy genre. I got into it kind of late. I was into it when Buffy started college. And the first episode I watched was like this episode where she got drunk for the first time. But the person that was, the bartender was putting this weird chemical in the booze so that it turned whoever drank it into like Neanderthal people. So Buffy became like this cave Buffy. And she had, stupidly had a one night stand with a guy who totally played her, and she was really upset about it because she'd never been played in such a manner. And she, as Cave Buffy, encountering this guy, I was totally prepared for her to do so many of the many things that Hollywood or TV insists that, you know, heroines do. But when the guy shows up and he sees her and she saves his life from a burning building, he's like, oh my God, thank you, I meant to call you, you know, you mean so much to me, thank you, blah blah blah. And you know, typically in a lot of television shows, when you see this happening, they'll be like, oh, you know, I'm so happy I saved you too, and blah blah blah, you know, like they really kind of give in. But Cave Buffy just took a 2x4 and smashed him in the face. And I was actually quite impressed. That was the beginning of it for me, because I was like, this is totally not what I expected, and this character is really interesting. So the comics are just an extension of that, and especially now when they have season 8, which is this whole series that they're doing to continue the Buffy story arc, because of, as most of you well know, the Buffy series is completely over, the television series. There was 7 seasons and that was it. But the comics are great, some of them, because then you kind of, like, it's a brand new episode and it continues on, some of them, where the television show left off. It also fills in certain things. One of my favorite issues that we'll be talking about later is one called Reunion, where they talk about what happened when Buffy and Angel met up after Buffy had died. So without further ado, let's get started. The first Buffy comic came out in 1998, and the writer was Andy Watson, the illustrator was Joe Bennett. I was really confused by this initially because, you know, Andy Watson is an excellent cartoonist in his own right, and they also continued on with this trend by getting Dan Brereton to write a bunch of the Buffy stories. And I'm not saying they're bad writers at all, but they are excellent artists. And I, you know, Dan Brereton would be a perfect pick for Buffy. I was really startled to find him to be a writer. So they, both Andy Watson and Dan Brereton, did a series of the comics. There was a big story arc. But I did not actually buy any until issue 46, when Paul Lee took over. Now, Paul Lee usually draws with Brian Horton, and they have a beautiful sort of painted style. They've done other stuff for Buffy, which I will talk about a little bit later. But Paul Lee... he's not your standard comic book artist in the sense that he's an inker who's become a cartoonist, and he brings a little more sophistication to the art than your average cartoonist. So like Joe Bennett, and then after it was Cliff Richards. I wasn't really into that art at all. So issue 46 was the beginning of it. And that started with season 6, where Buffy was being all nihilist and sleeping with Spike. So it goes further down that story arc. Then the next issue I bought was issue 50. And finally, it was the first issue where they use Andy Watson as an artist for Buffy. I was like, yay! And it was pretty cute. It was Buffy and Cordelia trapped in the mall, surrounded by mall rats trying to get at them, and they had to beat the mall rats. And it was Andy Watson doing his, like, cute, super deformed style. Paul Lee and Brian Horton also had a story in issue 50 that they illustrated, and I didn't buy any more until issue number 55, when it was a whole Dawn story, but it was actually a Dawn story from pre-first season, because, well, if you know any of the Buffy lore, it gets kind of complicated, but Dawn technically isn't really her sister. She's like this thing called a key, but they cleverly put her into the series, and then they created this whole backstory that they didn't even explore. So she was an excellent writing technique for Joss Whedon and all the writers to have more stories going on pre-Buffy that you hadn't seen before, because Dawn was this whole new character. And so that's what issue 55 is about. It's called Hoopy the Bear, and it's all about Dawn and a stuffed animal and how it goes kind of evil and scary. But it was Paul Lee again, and it's good art, which I quite like. So a little bit of history about Buffy. Like, Buffy was written by Joss Whedon. And initially, it started out as a movie with Krista Swanson. And I actually kind of liked the movie. It's really silly and campy, but it was like one of the first movies that Paul Reubens was in after his big masturbation scandal. So I was like, yay, Paul Reubens, because I like him. And I thought that was total bunk, all that stuff that happened with him. But anyway, so that's beside the point. Rutger Hauer is in it, and Luke Perry is actually likable in it, and David Arquette is also in it. And there's some really silly moments. And, it's true to the theme that Joss Whedon wanted, which was this valley girl fighting vampires. But unfortunately, as far as Joss Whedon's concerned, it's pretty mangled from the true story that he wanted. So thankfully, he was given the opportunity to do a TV show, which was Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which is about essentially a cheerleader who is called upon to fight vampires. And the story, he kind of painted himself in a corner, I always thought, because the thing is like these slayers, there's only one per century, or whenever the next one dies, another one's called up. But there's only one for the whole world, which I thought was kind of silly. It should have been like one for each continent or something, or one for each country, because you're really limiting yourself. But I guess Joss Whedon figured, that they die off pretty quick, so he's not really limiting himself. But anyways, so Buffy went 8 seasons, and there was a spinoff called Angel, which we'll also be talking about. So I'm going to go to some music. They did a soundtrack for the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie, and it was, oh my gosh, there's some pretty interesting people on this soundtrack, but most of all, the most interesting of all, is the Dream Warriors, which, it came out in 1992, so I'm not all that surprised. So this Dream Warriors track is not available anywhere else. It's called Man Smart, Woman Smarter, and it's, I believe it's a Harry Belafonte cover, but they kind of mix it up because, it's the Dream Warriors. And I hope you enjoy it. You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, and we're talking about Buffy and Angel comics that don't suck.
Samson was the strongest man long ago. No one could have beat him down, as we know. smarter than the man, rare, rare, rare.
Yes, the woman smarter than the man, rare, rare, rare.
That's right.
Hey, this is Jim from the rock band Sparta, and you're listening to CJLO Radio Concordia.
And you're listening to the Onomatopoeia Show, the show about comics blowing your mind one comic book at a time. And that was Man Smart, Woman Smarter from the Dream Warriors. What a flashback. Man, I miss those guys. What are they doing now? Anyways, that was off the Buffy the Vampire Slayer soundtrack from the movie that not many people care about. But there's some interesting people on that soundtrack. Some divinals for you, some guided by voices, some Toad the Wet Sprocket. Woo-hoo. Anyways, we're talking about the Buffy and Angel comics that don't suck because there is a dirge of them, a veritable plethora of crappy Buffy and Angel comics. I'm sure the story arcs are great, but the art is kind of lame. And so I want to talk about the ones that are good. And we talked about the series, and there was some great Paul Lee, Brian Horton art in some of the issues. As well, they finally utilized Andy Watson, which I think is great because, as well, he's an amazing writer, but he's also an excellent artist. One of the ones that I enjoyed was a couple of the spinoffs. They did one called Lover's Walk in 2001, where Eric Powell did a Spike and Drew story. Eric Powell, of course, is more better known for his Goon comics, which are also kind of gothy and creepy. And as well, China Clugston Major did a Willow and Tara story about some ghosties and motels. And China Clugston Major is a very, well, actually, she's just China Clugston now. Sorry. I've always known her as China Clugston Major. But China Clugston is an really interesting choice to do Buffy comics because she kind of has a really cute style. She does a sort of ska teen drama comic called Blue Monday, and I totally adore it. So it was a natural pairing. You know, the thing about the Buffy comics, the reason why I don't like the art so much, it's not so much that they don't make Buffy look like Buffy. Like, I'm not so much a purist that these characters have to look like the actors. I mean, Eric Powell doesn't make them look exactly like they're supposed to look either, but it still has his style, which is excellent, as well as a decent art, you know? And I'm finding that a lot of the current artists, like I'm sorry if you disagree with me, but I find that Georges Gianti, the guy who's doing the season 8, I'm just not really, I mean, it's serviceable. It does the job, but to me, there's nothing spectacular about it, especially when I look at the beautiful Joan Chen covers and I'm just like, why can't the interiors be as good as this? I know they're not the same thing, but it would be nice. Anyways, so Lover's Walk 2001, Eric Powell, China Collection Major, great. Then there was the issue Reunion that came out in 2002, and that was actually written by some of the Buffy writers like Jane Espen, and it was illustrated by Ryan Sook and China Collection Major and Eric Powell. And Ryan Sook is such a natural for Buffy. I really adore his work. A lot of people call him a bit of a Mike Mignola hack. I'm the guy who does Hellboy. I can definitely see his inking style being quite similar to Mignola, but I just... Ryan Sook's marriage with Buffy World is good. And the issue was funny. It was because it was all about, like, in the series, I guess it was season 5, I believe, she died at the end. And then she comes back in season 6, they resurrect her. And so she's in this really weird sort of state where she's really unhappy because she was happy in heaven, but she doesn't want to tell her friends that because then they'd feel bad for bringing her back. And so she kind of does a lot of silly things. But in Reunion, it's all about... Willow and Xander and Anya speculating on what happened when Buffy and Angel see each other after she supposedly died. It's like a big heartbreaking romantic love comic kind of moment, but it's actually a really funny comic and nothing really awesome happens. It's just silly. The other spinoffs that they did a series of Spike and Drew spinoffs, which were both, again, Ryan Sook. He was awesome. The first one came out in 1999, which was this great adventure in Turkey starring Spike and Drew. And I can't say enough about the art. Like, his inking style is really dark. It's really well suited for Buffy. He draws a really cute Drew and a really fierce Spike, and the vampires look icky like vampires, and it's the action is great. He has a good eye for action. The next issue that he did was one called Spike and Drew Queen of Hearts, which also came out in 1999, and this was a story of Spike and Drew in New Orleans just before second season when they arrive in Sunnydale. So it's cool because you're getting these stories and they're kind of sandwiched in between the seasons, or they're taking place during the seasons, and you're getting a different aspect of what's happened. And yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. I really, you know, I think Ryan Sook is perfect for Buffy. He's a slow artist, which is the only unfortunate thing. Or I'm sure he'd probably would have been pegged to do a lot more. But you know, what can you do? What can you do? So we're going to go to some more music. I played some Dream Warriors earlier. I'm going to play some Rasputina. She was on the first album of a Buffy Vampire Slayer that they did with music. There was a whole bunch of people on there, like Chiba Matto, who we're going to play later. And who else? It's the album, the Buffy album. But I actually really like Rasputina. I think she's really interesting, so I'm gonna play her. You're listening to CGLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, the show about comics, and we're talking about Buffy and Angel comics that don't suck. And this is Rasputina, Transylvanian Concubine.
If you want to know how to fly, I'm gonna do a place where all the comfort binds me in converse with the moon. Let their pale skin wonder how they chew on their pointy teeth and their beauty. They know it's a duty to be countess in their hearts, their minds, and have to whisper, seeing them as sister, look into their eyes, and you'll be in Transylvanian concubine. And you know what flows there like wine. Sorrow is a master cackling with laughter. Now he's having just one piece of cake. He is a makeup Catholics try to shake up all the things up from their lives, but they're dead. The sighs, their song. They know what they do is wrong. Stay here with us, it's just time. Transylvanian concubine. Thank you.
You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM, and this is the Onomatopoeia Show, the show about comic books, and we're blowing your mind one comic book at a time. That was Transylvanian Concubine by Rasputina, and she is a very interesting musician. I quite like her music because it's never really what I expect, except for the whole, you know, gothic aspect of it. But she uses some really interesting instruments, and she's all over the map, which I find enjoyable. Creative people. Yay! Anyways, we're talking about Buffy comics that don't suck and Angel comics that don't suck, because there's a whole bunch of them out there, and I just find a lot of the art is really weak, and I'm, you know... Dark Horse does that a lot, though. I mean, they've got Aliens, they've got so many, and some of the art is fantastic, you know, like the John Bolton stuff, but then some of it's just weird and yucky. I don't know. I mean, you can't win them all, right? But I mean, it's just that I really enjoy the Buffies, and I really enjoy the Angel comics and series and stories and all that little world that Mr. Whedon created, so I kind of was hoping that at least a good chunk of them would be good. And I unfortunately don't have a good chunk. I only have enough to talk about it for about an hour. So to me, that's not a good chunk. There should be way more. Anyways, we're going to continue with the spinoffs. We were talking about how there's been the Buffy series where it went up to like, oh gosh, I think like 80 issues or something ridiculous. I could be wrong. It could be only be 60. I didn't really count because, you know, I wasn't really paying attention. I didn't quite like that series very much. There was only 3 to 4 issues that I actually bought. And then we spoke about some of the spinoffs in regards to like Lover's Walk and Reunion, which were like just Buffy one-shots. And then they did a couple of Spike and Drew miniseries that we spoke of. And now we're going to talk about the Giles miniseries that was illustrated by Eric Powell. And he does this little trick where he does two interesting and different art styles where he'll do his stereotypical comic book art style, but then throughout the story there's different chunks of it that are in sort of like a pencil-y Gene Colan shading sort of art style. And so, yeah, that was Giles, young Giles. How interesting. And then there was the Willow and Tara trade paperback that came out in 2003. And that was pretty exciting because Terry Moore illustrated some of that. And that was one of the first times I saw him do art outside of Strangers in Paradise. Because I can't remember if this came before or after the Marvel one shot he did. I think, yeah, it might be around the same time. But it was during the 5th season when Tara and Willow were so in love. And it was really cool to see his style with the Buffy universe. Also, there was a story by illustrated by this guy, AJ, and another artist called Klebs Jr., and they have a really sort of animated style. And I did some research online, and it turns out Klebs Jr. is a Brazilian artist who has done a lot of work, actually, incidentally, for Marvel Adventures right now. So it makes sense. It's a bit of a cartoony style. Anyways, a lot of the writing is done by Christopher Golden and Tom Sinagowski, in case you're wondering. It just seems to be the tendency that the books that I pick up are written by those guys. Or either that, or they just get a lot of work with the Buffy world. The next series that I also like... I should also mention that Amber Benson, who played Tara, wrote a couple of stories in the Willow and Tara trade, and she did a really good job. She wasn't terrible, like a lot of people... Mark Hamill, to name a few. And also they did another Andy Watson short, which was sweet because, you know, they should do way more Andy Watson doing Buffy stuff. But I guess it's kind of beyond now. Andy's beyond that. But back then, it was always really pleasant to see a little Andy Watson every once in a while in my Buffy comics. They also did a miniseries called Tales of the Slayer, which I quite enjoyed because it went through the other Slayers throughout the Buffy universe and the history of Buffy. So you had like one that was around during the French Revolution that was illustrated by Ted Nyfe, who is excellent. He did Courtney Crumrin. They also had Tim Sale doing one about a girl during the, she was just during, the Sword and Sorcery, not making sense, blah, ignore it. Tim Sale's story was about during the time of witchcraft when they were in Salem, when they were burning witches and stuff. And it's about a slayer who fights the vampires and does the good fight, but then in the end she gets accused of being a witch. Tim Sale, of course, is way more famous for doing comics for the heroes. Let's see, who else was involved in this? There was Lino Francis Yu did a story about the first Slayer, the African one, and it was just an interesting choice because now he's doing like X-Men comics, so he brought a lot of interesting hyper-realism to it. P. Craig Russell brought a beautiful romanticism to his story of a Slayer who disguises herself as a man during the turn of the century to fight her vampires. Steve Lieber did one that was about a Western vampire Slayer, and Mira Friedman did one that was really interesting. It was like all wood block cut print style, and she was like a Nazi supporter. It was during World War II, but then she realized that the Nazis were a little were also evil. It wasn't just the vampires. And so then she started fighting the vampires too. And then lastly, Gene Colan did one about Nikki, who was Robin, the character Robin the Woodrow. I can't remember his last name, but he was the principal in the last season of Buffy, and that was his mother. She was one of the Slayers. It was actually one of the Slayers that Spike had killed. And then Carl Moline did a Frey story, which is excellent. I love Carl Moline, and I think his Frey series is excellent, but we'll talk about that in a few minutes. So Tales of the Slayer, after they did that in, let's see, when did this Tales of the Slayer book come out? I think it was 2001. I have it here with me. 2001, I was right. So the Tales of the Slayer trade came out in 2001, and then they did a trade or a issue in 2002 with Jeff Mitsuda, who has a real animated style, and actually I think he's doing the character designs for the Buffy animated series, which is now on hiatus. I'm pretty sure it's not happening anymore. It was just a big rumor that they taunted us with. And Gene Colan did another story as well, and it was all about genies and how sneaky they can be and how the Slayer has to sort one out. But we're going to go to another track, and then we're going to do some news. You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, the show about comics, and we are talking about Buffy comics that don't suck. That is Buffy the Vampire Slayer, a creation of Joss Whedon, who is a very busy, busy man. Now we're going to go to a track by Chibo Matto. They actually appeared on Buffy. It was kind of cool. Every so often you'd find some interesting people if you were watching Buffy, because they had the Bronze, which was like their all-ages club, so they could do, you know, sort of adult-like things like hang out in a bar but drink juice and pop. It was an interesting writing trick. But anyways, they every so often when they walked into the Bronze, you'd see like Blondie or, you know, Rasputina or just, you know, Biff naked at one point. But we're going to be playing Chibo Matto because that's who I like. And this song is called Sugar Water. You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
Diversity of time. Her voice into sugar water.
And you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, blowing your mind one comic book at a time. And now it's time for our news segment. What? That's not news. Okay. Anyways, I got to get a news noise so you guys know it's news time. Lots of things happen in the little wide world of comics. Sadly, Betty Page died this past week at the age of 85. She had had a heart attack earlier this week, and then she died of pneumonia. She will be sadly missed and well thought of constantly, forever, completely immortalized forever. That's incredible when you think about it. What I think is incredible is the fact that she had no idea how popular she was until Dave Stevens, the comic book creator of The Rocketeer, told her. And then she was like, what? It's pretty cool. Anyways, Betty Page, we will miss you. Also, Joss Whedon has a new TV show coming out. Apparently, it's going to be out Friday, February the 13th will be the season premiere of Dollhouse. It's starring Elijah Dishku, who was also Faith in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer series, and Angel as well. She crossed over. But if you're a big fan of Whedon, you know this already. Check out Dollhouse. It should be good. Apparently, she's like this character who can get her brain scraped out and then saved, and then people like import a new personality into her brain so she can become somebody else to help other people. Sounds pretty freaky and interesting. It was my birthday this past week, and the only thing I bought myself, it was at a book sale fair thing, was a $6 graphic novel. It's called No Fear Shakespeare, and it was Hamlet, and it was illustrated by Neil Babra, who is actually really good. I'm quite enjoying this comic. It's like, it's a reinterpretation of Shakespeare. I guess it's to make younger kids get into Shakespeare easier without all the, you know, dry, boring, old English, which I totally understood and enjoyed, but at the same time, like, I can understand the point behind it. And No Fear Shakespeare, Hamlet, I totally recommend. Neil Babra is very similar to Craig Thompson, but who does blankets, but it's not exactly the same. And, you know, he really put a lot of effort into this Hamlet. Like, he did not phone this in. There's some amazing panels, layout, structure, beautiful flow with what's happening. It's, yeah, I highly recommend this No Fear Shakespeare. When I went to research it, I only found the Romeo and Juliet comic online, but I'm curious to see who the other artists are. Let's see. Oh, thanks to CJLO, I got to see Slumdog Millionaire. I went and saw that on Wednesday. It was amazing. It was fantastic. I really cannot say enough about it. I mean, I'm no Naked Lunch reviewer, so I can't really get critical about it because I really enjoyed it. I took it at face value and I loved it. And it's basically just about this guy who won, who wants to be a millionaire in India, and they don't understand how he's winning and they think he's cheating. And so the story is talking about how he knew the answers to every question through a series of flashbacks of his life. And it's also an amazing love story. And it was kind of like when I saw Baron Munchausen. It just had everything in a bag of chips. It was amazing. So go out and see Slumdog Millionaire. Danny Boyle made an amazing movie. And it was fun and funny and sad and happy and wonderful and heartbreaking and good all at the same time. I mean, there's things about it that are cheesy too, but you just kind of take that with the genre. Anyways, I also went and saw The Cobra Christmas Carol. It was on at the Mainline Theater. I went and saw it on Friday. That was very interesting, and I did laugh quite a bit. Basically, the premise, it's Cobra Commander, and they've got it amalgamated with a Dickens's Christmas Carol, and they do some musical numbers. But my favorite thing, besides the commercials, because they had to do commercials as well, they did these really funny Snickers commercials. But my favorite thing was like the Cobra's Christmas memories, and yeah, they were good times, those Cobra Christmas memories. But the Christmas theme was kind of played out. It was unfortunate, but I was thinking when I was watching it that I'd probably really enjoy like the Cobra Christmas musical, the Cobra musical period. No Christmas involved. It might be funnier. But there was lots of gags that were silly that I didn't even think of, you know, is like the fact that how do they eat? So that, you know, every so often they'll be eating on stage and they'll be moving their ninja masks. And yeah, that kind of stuff made me giggle. So it was a fun time. So let's see what else. Oh, and I also need to mention my website, www.cartoongal.com. It's kind of deplete of anything right now, but eventually there will be stuff up there, and by the time January starts, stuff should be added like clockwork as well. On top of that, there will be old stuff being added. I've gone through all my old tapes of the old Onomatopoeia show, and I found like a whole slew of awesome interviews with Jonah Vasquez and Jill Thompson and Harvey P. Carly, just all these awesome old interviews. So as well as airing our show, or my show rather, the Onomatopoeia show, will be airing old episodes as well on the website. So that's www.cartoongal.com. There's some stuff on there now, but it's not much. It's kind of weak, but that's okay. Soon it'll be good. Don't worry. Just go out and enjoy the snow. Don't be sitting at home looking at your computer. Anyways, you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. We're going to go to another track now that news is over. This is from a band called Velvet Chain, and they actually did a song all about Buffy, which is kind of freaky when you think about it. But at the same time, it's kind of good when you think about it. I guess it all depends on how you think about it. Anyways, you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
So let's talk about the future. Let's talk about what Viddy means to this industry. And let's talk about how all of us, not one of us, how all of us are going to profit.
Horrible, waste of time, boring, self-indulgent. The best character in this film was the dog.
Such a ripoff. I want my 2 hours back.
Expose yourself to movie talk, news, reviews, rock and roll, rhythm and blues on The Naked Lunch, CJLO.
Every Friday at noon.
Where forces of darkness abound, the demons and vamps always come around to satisfy lust for the kill, to feed on the living and love evil. But when they rise up into the night, the slayer will come, the slayer will fight. With powers reserved, the chosen one. In each generation, there's only one. Buffy. She's the slayer. Oh yeah. Ah, Buffy. The vampire slayer.
The demons and vampires.
And you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, where we talk about comics and we try to blow your mind one comic book at a time, because there's a lot of awesome comics out there and you need help sorting out which ones are good and which ones are not so good. So we're talking about the Buffy and Angel comics that are good. And, you know, the whole universe that Joss Whedon created with this series is, it's not really something you should just take for granted, because, I mean, I know a lot of nerds are really into it and, you know, you've watched a couple of episodes, it comes across pretty darn cheesy. But at the same time, when you really examine when it came out and what it was all about, it was the kind of the first of its kind. You know, it was like this real huge examination of being a teenage girl. Like, it really got into the minutia of it and the drama of it, and it did a very good job. It also was one of the first shows to kind of accolade nerddom, in the sense that, you know, Xander was a total nerd and he read comics, and a lot of what they talked about and the jokes that they made were very nerdy jokes. And now you've got shows like Big Bang Theory and other movies and stuff where it's just like nerding, being nerd is cool now, right? So, you know, back then Buffy, it was, for its time, it was pretty revolutionary, I feel. So we're going to go on and continue to talk about the comics. But just a little side note, I got a lot of the books, and I also have a lot of the action figures. That's how big a fan I am. And I'm not, like, super proud of it or anything, but I'm just saying the books are really good, and the action figures, most of them, for the most part, actually are pretty decent. Some of them, like the newer ones, are really crappy. They've got these really ugly joints, but some of them are really cool. Like, I've got Drusilla as a vampire. She's, like, in almost a wedding dress, blood all over. She's awesome. And Spike is one of the first ones I got, because he's got, like, his trench coats, like, waving out in the back. And I got Angel from the first series, and I got Buffy from the first series, but I also got, like, a Buffy variant, because it was really hard for them to get the Buffy likeness with the action figures. But anyways, I got, like, Illyria and Lorne and Wesley and Oz and Giles, and I do probably play with them, you know. Oh, Buffy, anyways, okay, so enough of that. I'm not killing time. I actually have a lot to say and I'm wasting it, sorry. So anyways, okay, there was Ring of Fire that came out in 2000, which was a Buffy the Vampire Slayer trade that came takes place, like, right after prom, or not after prom, but right after Angel turns into Angelus and kills Jenny Calendar, illustrated by Ryan Sook. Totally awesome. There was Creatures of Habit, which was, like, a book with illustration, which was totally painted by Brian Horton and Paul Lee. Excellent, all about the rave culture and Dawn and stuff, and good. They also started doing Angel series, and initially Angel was really good, because, again, it was Brian Horton and Paul Lee, and they did a Dark Horse Presents issue 153 to 155. It was a nice little Angel story out in LA. I loved it. It was good. And then they started doing the series in 1999, and I got a bunch of them, 4 and 8 and 9 and 14, only because Eric Powell did them, and I really like his art. But for the most part, it's pretty crappy, the Angel art, which is unfortunate. The other thing that came out that was awesome, it was totally awesome, and Joss Whedon wrote it, and it was illustrated by Carl Moline. It was so good. It was came out in 2001. It was called Frey, and it was about the future Slayer. And in the future, there were no Slayers, but the vampires were still around. And so it's about this young girl who's actually a thief, and she becomes the next Slayer. And Moline's art was fantastic. Like, he was bombastic all over the map with his drawing style. Lots of flying cars, jumping from, you know, bazillion stories, buildings falling through the air, and it was, the story itself was really well written too, because it was Joss Whedon. Now in the new stuff, they've been doing season 8, which really kind of bugs me, in the sense that there's a book by Nancy Holder called Queen of the Slayers, which is supposed to be season 8, so I'm a little confused about what is actual canon and what isn't. But I bought, like, the first 3 issues, but again, I love the art on the cover, but I'm not so fond of the art on the inside, and the story wasn't enough to make me want to keep buying it. But when I started doing research for this show, I discovered that Buffy issue 20 is this awesome issue that's sort of based on the animated series, where it's got art from, I think it's Jeff Matsuda that's doing it. I could be wrong, but it looks really good, and it's totally cartoony and really cute and interesting. And it's about how Buffy ends up going back in time, but she keeps her knowledge of the future with her. So she's, like, wisecracking all the time about the future, but nobody really knows what she's talking about, but she does. It's kind of funny. The other thing is, from Buffy issue 16 to 19, it had Carl Moline doing a Frey Buffy crossover, which I totally didn't know about. And as soon as I'm done this show, I'm kidding. I'm not going to run out and buy those comics, because I can't afford them. But anyways, if I could afford them, I'd totally run out and get them. And, well, actually, I have a gift certificate I haven't used yet. It's, like, a year old. I should probably use it. But anyways, the whole point is I was so excited to read about this Frey Buffy crossover, and I'm so happy that Carl Moline illustrated it because he's perfect for it, that if I could, I'd run out and get it right now. IDW started taking over on Angel, and in fact, Angel was written by John Byrne at one point where he did a World War I story, which I was just kind of like, John Byrne. And the other thing that's really funny that I didn't really know about that's hilarious is that apparently in the Buffy comic, Buffy starts falling in love with a girl. And at one point the cast all got together again, like in, I think it was March of 2008. There was like a big reunion thing, and nobody, Sarah Michelle Gellar, didn't know that that was happening. And someone brought it up, and she's all like, oh, good, I'm glad Buffy's getting some action. So just kind of funny. Anyways, you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. Hopefully I was able to help you out find some Buffy and Angel comics that aren't so bad, that have some really good artists. Eric Powell, you can't lose with him. He does a great series on his own called The Goon. China Clugston, you can't lose with her. She also does her own great series called Blue Monday, and some other titles as well. So there, you know, Ryan Sook as well has done some excellent Spike and Drew comics. So if you're sort of jonesing for Buffy and Angel, and there's just too many comics to sort through and too much crap, stick with those names. Also on my site, probably by next week at some point, there'll be a bunch of scans that you can look at and decide for yourself what you like and what you don't like, you know, help you out. But yeah, you know, I'd realize there's so much comics out there. Where do you start? So you start by listening to the Onomatopoeia Show, and I'll tell you where to go. Anyways, Christmas is around the corner. I hope you all did your shopping. I'm going to be in Ontario, so next week there will be no show. The week after that, I think I'm going to be playing an interview with Dan Dido that Brian did. He's the guy who does Cypher, the show. Limelight, I believe it is. No, that's not him. He doesn't do Limelight. I forget what he does. He does a really good hip-hop show at some point at the station. And they interviewed Dan Dido, and so we're going to play that interview next year, because next year's in 2 weeks. And there will be some other really great shows. Don't worry. There's lots and lots of shows coming up, lots and lots of interviews. I've been talking to some people at Sanex because I want to talk to them about their characters. And yeah, you're going to learn a lot about comics. It'll be a good time. So there'll be some awesome interviews on Pat McEwen, some Bernie Moreau. It'll be good. Anyways, we're almost out of time. You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. I'm going to close out with a track by the Buffy musical. This was an episode that Joss Whedon did where everything was a song, which is totally amazing. And so this is a song called I've Got a Theory. And it's really funny because one of the characters, Anya, is totally afraid of bunnies. So her theory is that why everyone is singing all the time is because bunnies are doing something evil. Those evil bunnies. Anyways, this has been the Onomatopoeia Show, the show about comics. And have a great Christmas and a happy new year, you guys. Be safe. Don't go playing in the snow like I told you to, because you probably get frostbite. It's really miserable out there. Okay, here is some musical humor for you. Buffy, I've Got a Theory.
I've got a theory that it's a demon, a dancing demon. No, something isn't right there.
I've got a theory, some kid is dreaming, and we're all stuck inside his wacky Broadway nightmare.
I've got a theory, we should work this out.
It's getting eerie, what's this cheery singing all about?
It could be witches, some evil witches. Which is ridiculous, cause witches, they were persecuted, wicked, good, and love the earth and women power, and I'll be over here.
I've got a theory, it could be bunnies.
I've got a theory.
Bunnies aren't just cute like everybody supposes. They got them hoppy legs and twitchy little noses. And what's with all the carrots? What do they?
Midgets.
I've got a theory we should work this fast.
Because it clearly could get serious before it's past.
I've got a theory, it doesn't matter.
What can't we face if we're together? What's in the same old trips, why should we care?
What can we do if we get in it? We'll work it through within a minute. We have to try, we'll pay the price. It's do or